It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The balance of power on Wisconsin's Supreme Court swings from conservative to liberal control this week. The 10-year term of Justice Janet Protasiewicz officially starts tomorrow after an April election with record campaign spending. Join the discussion on the state's high court at any point. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ed Miller is here, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at UW Stevens Point, former co-chair for the Redistricting Committee for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Ed, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to be back.
Yes. So, Protasiewicz scheduled to be sworn into office tomorrow and onto the bench. How soon could the new liberal majority of the court begin to issue decisions?
Well, it'll be a while. Because for one thing, a number of the cases will have to work their way through the courts. Now, cases can be immediately heard by the Supreme Court. In other words, they can accept the case without going through the district court and the Court of Appeals. But often they let cases go through the full system unless it's something of statewide importance, and then the Supreme Court could take it up directly. But even that would take a while because people would have to file papers and so forth. So don't expect decisions for a little bit.
Conversely, what could take years to get before the state Supreme Court?
Well, there's a number of cases, and there's other aspects of the court before the cases would be heard. But there's a whole bunch of cases. The most notable ones that people are talking about certainly is the Wisconsin abortion case. And that case in recognizing the abortion law that occurred, and that has already begun in the lower courts. And that would be recognizing Wisconsin's abortion prohibition that was enacted shortly after Wisconsin became a state. And that's one case that people have talked about. Another case certainly is the redistricting case. Wisconsin has one of the most gerrymandered systems in the country. And so you will see that Republicans overwhelmingly dominate the Senate and the Assembly, while if you look at the votes, that the Democrats have either won more votes than the Republicans overall for the state, or it was fairly even in other elections. But the point is that the way the districts are drawn have allowed the Republicans to dominate that. As well as the Congress in terms of the House. In addition to that, those are the two of the top cases. Another case, which would be a pressing case, and that would be one dealing with ballot boxes. And so the Supreme Court has essentially said that we cannot, in Wisconsin, have ballot boxes where people can drop off their absentee ballots. There's been all kinds of fights over that. And that'll be a pressing case, you know, before the next election that they probably will reverse that case. Then there's a whole bunch of others, including allowing people to stay on the court, commissions and boards after their term has expired. Hmm. The court has said that you could stay on it until the new appointee has been confirmed by the Senate. And of course, with the Democratic governor and a Republican Senate, they have not been confirming Evers' appointments. And so that is an issue. Anyway, these are some of those, and there are certainly other ones that could be considered.
So what I'm hearing is abortion and voting and election issues, certainly up there as the most pressing issues that may have a place before this court. And, you know, it has been said that the first priority for Democrats will be to bring a case to challenge the legislative maps. Might there be a request even this week for the court to hear a redistricting case?
Right. And they may the case may be filed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court about redistricting. Now, Wisconsin Supreme Court has had all kinds of problems with redistricting and when it's going to the court. And in almost all cases of going back to the 1930s, the Wisconsin court had one that the legislature has not been able to handle it. And in most cases, with 1960 redistricting an exception, they've been handled by the federal court rather than the state court. And it was for that reason that the state court wanted to have a procedure that if it came to them, how could they draw the districts? And that was the redistricting committee that you mentioned that I co-chaired came up with a plan at that time. But that's a real problem for the court to be able to do it because they don't really have a mechanism to redraw the districts.
We're talking about the balance of power shift on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Ed Miller, our guest, former political science professor, served as co-chair for the Wisconsin Supreme Court Redistricting Committee. You can join the conversation, your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Ed, you touched on this briefly, but how likely is the Supreme Court to take up cases without lower court reviews in order, you know, to speed up its rulings?
Right. And there's been pressure for them to do that. But the court has backtracked on that, that they want to see what the rulings are of the lower courts, especially the Court of Appeals that we now have. I mean, at one time, we didn't have a Court of Appeals in Wisconsin, but we have since the late 70s, and to see what they have done. So certain cases may go back to the courts. Now, the redistricting case, they may not, only because, one, it's of statewide importance, and second, they've already heard a redistricting case and decided it previously. So they may take that up earlier. But let me just note, one of the things that will be changing in the court is who is the chief. And that's an interesting issue because Wisconsin had a situation in which it was pretty neutral. It was that individual who served on the court the longest became the chief justice. So this is not like the U.S. Supreme Court. It was done based upon seniority on the court. But when the conservatives got a majority on the court, there was a great pressure to oust the current person, and that was Shirley Abrahamson, from the chief justice. And she had been chief justice for some time. She was originally appointed to the court. When there's a vacancy in the court, the governor gets to appoint some way to the court until the next election. She was appointed by Governor Lucy, and that's how far back it went. And she became the chief justice of the court. Well, the conservatives wanted to oust her as chief justice. And so what they did was they pressed in the legislature a constitutional amendment to change that. And they did change it. The citizens did vote for it. I think many of them didn't know what they were voting for based upon the complexity of the situation. But the fact is they did approve it. So the justices now picked their own chief. And that immediately changed once the constitutional amendment was adopted. It was changed from Shirley Abrahamson, who was a liberal, to a conservative, and that's Rokensack. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that's retiring. And she became the chief justice after that. And she served for a number of years, and now it's Ziegler. Justice Ziegler is the chief conservative. Well, so that will switch.
With the chief justice, then, how much gatekeeping is it? What do they get to do versus the other justices? How important is that?
Well, the chief is you know, as they say, you know, one among equals. But the chief has other things. She's the one who presides over the sessions. She presides over the conferences. And she also presides over the court system, essentially. And so the chief is pretty important. And the chief, with the majority, you know, in the same ideological bent, could also be involved in changing the rules of the court. And most notably, Shirley Abrahamson was pressing for an open court. So in other words, when they had conferences, now we're not talking about cases, but when they had conferences, not to discuss cases, but other kinds of rules, Shirley Abrahamson insisted that they be open, and they were covered by Wisconsin Eye, for example, so the citizens could see what was going on. When the conservatives took over as the majority, they reversed those rules. And so with a majority as liberal and a chief justice who is liberal, I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to some of the earlier rules, which were more open. Another key rule I should mention that may be adopted is the recusal rule. And so what happened was in the federal courts determined that individual justices of courts who got a lot of money, for example, from certain interest groups, had to recuse themselves from the cases. In other words, they couldn't participate in those particular cases. And that came out of a case in West Virginia. However, it came up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court of whether they would adopt a rule requiring justices not to participate in cases in which they received a lot of money, which, of course, could mean that they're biased. And they turned that down. The liberals favored a recusal rule, and the conservatives were against it. So it's possible that there could be a recusal rule adopted. And there's been a number of cases in which this has come up of whether justices should have not participated in the case, most notably when Gableman was on the court. He received a ton of work from a law firm, and that the argument was he received this work without paying for it. So in effect, it was contributions, and that he should not have participated in cases involving that particular law firm. Well, he did. And that's been an issue.
Insights there from UW Stevens Point Emeritus Political Science Professor Ed Miller as we discuss consequential topics that could come before the state Supreme Court. You can join the conversation about state politics along the way. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Judge Jana Protasiewicz is seated on the 7-member Wisconsin Supreme Court this week, we explore what a majority liberal-controlled court may prioritize and what to watch for in coming months, and you can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question, share a comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. UW Stevens Point Emeritus Political Science Professor Ed Miller is our guide. Let's take a call now. Jeff in Delafield. Jeff, hi. What would you like to add?
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if the guest sees any possibility of going back to some of our environmental protections, for example, groundwater protections. There's a big problem in the central part of the state with residential wells contaminated with nitrate from industrial agriculture, and we've seen a lot of a real loosening of the protections from high-capacity wells. I think that's a result of a court case within the last 10 years. Does the guest see any chance of going back and readdressing some of those environmental issues now with a change in the Supreme Court?
Jeff, thank you. Ed Miller.
Yes, a number of those issues could come for the court, although the court will probably limit the number of ones that they actually reverse. And one of the reasons for this, one is the reason certainly time, but a second reason is that in 2 years, there will be another election to the court. And the liberal justice from Wausau, Ann Walsh Bradley, she will be up. And so that will also be a major battle. So all these particular issues, if they reverse too many, could be used in that campaign. And I'm sure that that will be a very, just like the one we just had, it's very expensive campaign. She will be up for election. So if she loses to a conservative, for example, then the court then reverses 4-3 the other way. So anyway, yes, the answer is yes, they could take them up, but they've got a number of issues to take up. And it's an important issue, clearly.
Jeff, thank you. Turning to one of those high priority issues that we have seen being posed for the court, you mentioned abortion and a challenge to Wisconsin's 1849 ban on abortion is working its way through the court system now, challenged by Attorney General Josh Call. So with this new liberal majority, what are the chances the state's abortion ban could be overturned?
I think it's pretty good. For one thing is that Prozac, she discussed that in her campaign. Now, that's always been a particular issue about discussing various potential cases before the court. And for many years, people who ran to be justice of Supreme Courts all over the country didn't mention cases. In other words, they're pretty neutral because they say, oh, a case will be before them. But that has been changing not only in Wisconsin. And she particularly made some mention of the abortion issue as well as the redistricting issue. Those are two of the issues that she addressed in the campaign. Anyway, so the bottom line is, if that comes before the court, I think that will be reversed. And so Wisconsin's got it complicated because Wisconsin has a later case on abortion, which is certainly more liberal than the earlier case, both of which, of course, had been suspended because of Roe versus Wade. So, but there's also the issue of even interpreting the earlier case. What does it actually mean? And different interpretations have now been submitted to the lower court. Anyway, so Wisconsin right now bans abortion based upon the previous cases, but that's likely to change.
Would it be possible? Might conservative justices join a decision overturning the ban?
It's possible. The main one is Brian Hagendorf. And he has, even though he's conservative and elected with support of conservatives, the fact is he has joined the liberals in some cases. And so he's been more like the swing justice over the last few years.
Hagedorn, as you mentioned, becoming a swing justice in recent years. With the court's new majority, who appears most likely to become the swing vote on split rulings?
Well, he would be most likely the swing vote in the rulings. And the person who's likely to be the chief, who will be very significant, interestingly enough, at least I think maybe, is Ann Walsh Bradley. I think she may be the chief justice. She may be voted as the chief justice, which is significant. Also, she's up for re-election, as I said, in the next election. So I think that if you look over the years in Wisconsin, the court has become much more polarized than it ever was before. I mean, there's been all kinds of issues in which there's been disputes. One of the main ones I thought was interesting had to do with money, public money, going to private parochial schools, going to religious schools. The Constitution pretty much says that money shouldn't go to parochial schools. It says that right directly, almost word for word in the Constitution. Well, the conservative majority then interpreted this that they could go to schools. And of course, religious schools in Wisconsin do receive money to this day. But that in latter times has led to a very polarized court from then on.
Ed Miller, retired political science professor, as we talk about the balance of power changing on Wisconsin Supreme Court, and you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Ed, since 2015, the Supreme Court justices selected Patience Rogensack to serve as the court's chief justice, as we talked about, and today officially marks the last day of her 10-year term. What is her legacy on the court?
Well, she has, led the court in the conservative direction, certainly, in the court. And she stepped down because I mean, she was currently, I think she's 83 now, and Ziegler has taken over for her. But I think mainly leading the court in a more conservative direction would be her legacy. The court also, over the years, I mean, not only with her, but over the years, have been taking fewer cases, which is interesting. It's also true of the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, one of the big changes, of course, was the adoption of the Intermediate Court of Appeals in 78. But even later than that, the court has been accepting fewer cases.
And why these do you tend think to that be, is?
It's hard to say. There's been a lot of speculation of why all these courts have. Well, one is they don't have to accept any case. So now they do not have to accept any case. At one time, they did because they were the only court of appeal, only mm-hmm. place to take an appeal. But now they don't. So it allows them to take the Hope high-profile cases, one that affects the state more. And what they've done is taken cases, particularly those cases that involve, very ideological matters. You know, a lot of people look at the courts and they see them as neutral arbitrators. Well, they're not. Especially the Supreme Courts, not only Wisconsin, but other Supreme Courts, they are a political body. And you can see this by the ideology, division on the court. Cases, there's often more than one precedent. They can overturn precedents. We've recently seen with Roe versus Wade nationally. Facts are rarely the same, one case and in another case. So in effect, there are political bodies. And in Wisconsin, we elect our justices.
And Ed, yeah. We are out of time. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be with you.
Ed Miller, retired UW Stevens Point professor of political science. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.